an incredible choir. I am really impressed. And I also hear several voices in the congregation that I think should be up here as well. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for welcoming me here. I'm Sharon Ramey, and I'm a minister, as you said, with Center for Spiritual Living in Seattle. And I'm just delighted to be here. I love Alaska, absolutely love it, and it is not my first rodeo up here. I moved here when I was 22 years old, and that was 100 years ago, 22 years old, and I got an opportunity to work on the construction of the pipeline. I got an opportunity to be a salesperson covering the entire state of Alaska. It was a glorious time of my life. I also ended up meeting the love of my life up here, and fell in love with him, and when he wanted to move down to Seattle, I had to follow. But that never decreased the love that I have for this place and the people here. I mean, I cannot tell you how special the people in Alaska are. I mean, really, truly, there is such love, such, as you said in your mission statement, such inclusivity, such a way of supporting each other that I don't see a lot of other places. I want to thank specifically Reverend Don for inviting me up here, but Reverend Linda also for making sure I got carted around in the snow and didn't stay at my hotel for lack of a way to get here. So thank you, Linda, and thank you for all that you've done to make this an easy process. So, my husband lives the science of mind, and he doesn't claim to know anything about it or practice it, or he doesn't claim any religion or anything like that at all. But he lives the science of mind. And I find myself studying, you know, going to all these classes and trying to become a practitioner and then becoming a minister so that I can, like, keep up with him. Because he just seems to have an easy way of handling all that we teach, of using it. And that's the topic that we're going to be discussing today, is how to use this thing called the principle and the spirit and the law and love. How do we use it for ourselves? So Paul, just to give you a little example of him, I can be really upset. Something that I want to work is not working. Maybe it's the TV, maybe it's the computer, maybe it's the car, and I get frustrated, and first of all, I think, well, I'll just do this myself. And pretty soon, after a while, I have to turn to him and say, honey, please fix this for me, or please help me out. And he gets up off of his couch and goes and does what he does, and then I'm so grateful because he's fixed whatever it is, and I just look at him in gratitude, and he goes, honey, I'll fix a broken heart if you just bring it to me. Aww. Well, is that not the way spirit is towards us? Like, in the midst of all my complaining about what's wrong, Paul just sits there and watches TV. Now, I know he's in a grand conspiracy for my benefit. I do know that. I know he loves me dearly and that all he wants is my good. But he'll just sit there and he just can't even hear all my complaints and my rattling around and all of that. And finally, when I turn to him and say, I need help, I want this fixed, I want this done, then all of a sudden he'll spring into action and take care of it. And that's kind of how I look at spirit, in that same vein. Ernest Holmes says that, what does he say? Okay. He says the law is working for us by working through us, and to the degree that we command and we have faith. He says that science of mind is elegant. He says it's the coming together, the correlation of the laws of science, the revelations of religion, and the opinions of philosophy applied to human needs and aspirations. He doesn't leave it just as these opinions and revelations and all of that that we should study. He says, you are charged with using this stuff. I wrote this giant book. You are charged with learning it and using it, not just showing people how smart you are that you can quote it. Okay, you are charged with using it. So he also, one of the things I really like about Ernest Holmes is he doesn't say it's just for you. He says you can use it just for yourself. You can use it for wealth, a place to live, for friends, for great relationships, but it's not just for you. Using this is also for the world, because as you grow in this power, you are contagious with this power to everyone. And do we need, in this world right now, do we need some people that feel powerful? Yes, we do. This is the answer. Yes.
Yes.
We do. And we are the people to be that contagion. But how can we be powerful if we don't use it? If we don't use it and try it out? And so some people poo-poo the parking spaces and the trying to get a raise at work and say, why don't you use a science mind for bigger things? We have to use it for the small stuff so that we know we have the power. So use it for everything. Another thing I like about Ernest Holmes is that he uses all religions, doesn't he? He takes the wisdom of all philosophies and all religions and says, let's just take the best of everything, right? So I love the Bible. I have to tell you, I love the Bible. And if you open up the first page of the Bible, Genesis 1, the very first statement, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? But then, I'm paraphrasing, he went on to see that there was some, you know, some chaos and some void and some darkness and all of that. And so he said, let there be light. He didn't say, let there be light, and then he went out and did a whole lot of work to make it happen. He said, let there be light. And then he saw that there was light and that it was good. He said, let there be light. Now, it could have stopped. This is God we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
It could have stopped with, God created the heavens and the earth. The end. Because we know that whatever God creates is perfect, right? Mm-hmm. But it didn't. It went on to say God created the heaven and the earth. And you know, there was some void there, and there was some chaos, and there was some darkness. And he said, let there be light. And that is our story. Ernest Holmes says, use the science of mind for your human needs and aspirations. It's almost like God is up there, created the earth, and then he had these human needs. I'm not human. He had divine needs and aspirations for light and for some order and all of that, correct? So in my mind, this was one of the first wisdom stories about the power of your word. Let there be light. Let there be. Also, if you go to the New Testament, to John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. Jewish people and Hebrew people had been clamoring for years for a Savior. They wanted somebody to save them from the bondage and from the suffering that they were experiencing, right? Mm-hmm. There was a Word that went out, save us, right? Mm-hmm. And so when John's telling about the coming of Jesus, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And if you study Emma Curtis Hopkins, a New Thought Christian mystic and teacher of Ernest Holmes and all, she said that Jesus Christ is the representation of goodness, the principle of goodness made visible. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, meaning you start with the Word. And you call forth an experience. Are we getting this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So if this is, if truly all we have to do is speak the word and something goodness can come to us, then why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? Well, first of all, I think one of the reasons is we think that it will look foolish. I mean, what if we fail? Isn't that horrible? We speak a word. And one of the things that I notice is that it's really hard for me to speak a word for something when authority is telling me something else. For example, my husband asked me one time, why do you have that blue spot on the back of your back? I said, what? And it was this raised spot on the back of my back that had turned blue. And I looked and I saw these other spots. They were kind of scaly spots that had been there before, but they weren't blue. And so I quit, did what we all do, go to the internet for truth, right? And I looked up on the internet because I've had some family history of melanoma. And so I looked on the internet and it says, if you have little raised spots and they have turned red, or brown, or black, or blue, go see your medical professional right away. Could be melanoma. That was very scary because I took that Google article as truth. Do you see how foolish it might feel to say, there is no melanoma in my life? Spirit is the only operating principle in my life, and I know that I am perfect, whole, and complete. Do you see how sometimes in the face of Google, that can feel like David and Goliath? Right? So sometimes we don't do that because we feel foolish. But I did have, I mean, come on, I'm a minister. I've been practicing this for a long time. So I did have the wherewithal to go to my practitioner and ask for prayer, and I did have the wherewithal to go to my husband and ask for prayer, and they both said, it's gonna be nothing. You're gonna find out, it's absolutely nothing. And so I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, did you just buy a new blue shirt? This is just dye. And I brought one of those thermal shirts and I had worn it before I had washed it. And the little rough spots of these little places had picked up the dye. Can you risk being foolish in order to claim what you want? The second thing is I don't think people use the power of the word because oftentimes we think, I'll just do it myself. Anybody? Now, come on, I know Alaska is full of rugged individualists, all right? And I know Alaska is full of a lot of people saying, I can do this. You know, you tell me I can't, I'll show you. Well, sometimes that's not the best spiritual path to go down. Sometimes it's good to go to God, to claim our word first, and then be guided on what to do. And because God said, concerning the works of my hands, in the Bible, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. Concerning anything, command ye me. Now, here's what I love about handling the little stuff. If you get skilled at handling the little stuff, you build the faith for the bigger stuff. How do you stand up and claim what you want in this day and age when there's a lot of upheaval going on around us? How do you have the courage to stand up unless you have started with some of the small stuff and see that every time you claim your word, that God can be depended upon? What if we didn't have to wait for things to blow up? What if we could just do small stuff? Let me give you an example of small stuff, okay? This is a little embarrassing, but you know, use God for anything, right? How many of you here fly Alaska Airlines? Okay. Alaska Airlines has got a program that says if you fly a certain number of miles, you get to be elite status, okay? And if you fly even more than that, you get to be even more elite status, right? And what the elite status does is allow you to buy tickets and not be penalized with fees if you bag those tickets, if you decide to cancel those reservations or something, and a bunch of other stuff. Well, my sister flies a ton of miles every year, and so she's got Alaska Gold. I wanted Alaska Gold, but I only had enough miles. I only had half that number of miles, and there was no way I was going to be able to get another 20,000 miles. But it was December, and every morning I write out the things I want. And in the midst of health and wealth for me, my family, and all the world, and the big things of life, I wrote out, and I really want to be Alaska Gold. Well, I'm thinking, you know, I'll have to write this out for the whole next year, right? And then maybe the day after that, I got a letter in the mail from Alaska, email from Alaska Airlines saying, congratulations, you've just made gold status. I looked back at the miles I had, and it was not enough for gold status. And here, there's this email. I thought, well, surely they'll find out that they've screwed up, right? You know? And I went on. Then I got a card in the mail that said, you've reached gold. And so I tentatively tried to use it. And they said, oh, congratulations, you're gold. You know, and they let me, I mean, they let me on the plane first after first class. They let me, you know, and I kind of felt like a little bit of a fraud. But my only thing is that a big thing? Is that something we really should go to God about? And yet, the faith that grew within me from that was enough to handle bigger stuff. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
So claim the word. Use it for dumb stuff that you just want, right? And then you'll have that which you need for the bigger stuff. So let's talk about how we can go through this process. Remember, I said that in Genesis it said that he could have stopped. God could have stopped after God created the heaven and earth perfectly. The end. Right? But he didn't. There was stuff that he wanted to change. Now, was it wrong? No, because he said the darkness and the light coexisted at the same time, right? It wasn't that it was wrong. It was a divine aspiration to have light as well as darkness. Do you see that? That sometimes in your life, not only do you have needs for to make the rent or a need for a perfect relationship or something like that, but you also have aspirations. You also have desires for something bigger in your life. Not that something's wrong, but something bigger. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So start with what your needs and aspirations are. That means start with what's lacking in your life. Start with what are you complaining about? Start with, where are my judgments? Start with, where's my pain point? Go ahead and start there. Think of something right now. What's not right in your life right now? Is it health? Is there a diagnosis? Is it something to do with wealth? Do you have enough money for everything you want? Does it have to do with relationships? Wonderful, strong, supportive relationships. Is there a lack there? Does it have to do with work? Maybe you have work that isn't quite fulfilling or joyful. It's a place you go every day, but is there some place in your life where things are just lacking? It's okay to be here. It's okay. You're not wrong because you're feeling something that's less than what you want. It's not wrong. But sometimes, especially I notice in Science of Mind, I resist telling somebody that something's wrong because, like, things should be perfect in my life. And yet, it's human for us to have things that aren't right. Think of it, God The very first chapter in Genesis, God looked at what he created, and there was void, and there was darkness, and there was chaos, and all of that. And I'm using he metaphorically, he decided, I want something more. I want light. I want the land and the sea to be separate. Do you see? There was an urge within that which we know to be God. So that is just a metaphor. It is just a teaching for you to say it's okay for there to be chaos and stuff you don't like. Because that is the call of the divine for something bigger. Every time you have a complaint, it's like God calling you and saying, what do you want instead? Tell me. I'll fix a broken heart if you just bring it to me. Okay? What do you want instead? So every time we have a complaint or a judgment or we look at the newspaper and say, I'll tell you what's wrong in the world, it's God saying, what do you want instead? Tell me. Concerning the works of my hands, command me. Okay, so does everybody have something that's not quite right for them? Now I invite you, either with eyes closed or with eyes open, just look up. Just lift your head about this much and just let your eyes kind of go to where the ceiling and the wall meet, you know, about that level. Just look up. Take whatever it is that was bothering you, whatever it is that wasn't quite right, and look up. Just look up. In that looking up, I invite you to just connect with Source. Connect with that power that is you. Jesus said, the Father and I are one. All power is given unto me, and whatsoever I declare is done. Connect with that power. You are one with that power. You are one with that power that says, whatever I declare is done. Connect with that. And from this place of letting yourself connect with the divine, ask yourself, what do I want instead? What is my soul craving to experience instead? And as you get an answer, ask yourself, what's the higher version of that? And what I mean by that is, if you say, what my soul is craving is that jerk that's my boss, I want him to be fired. No, ask yourself, what's the higher truth? What would I experience if that happened? Well, I would experience freedom. I would experience joy. I would experience an opportunity to share my gifts. In a huge way. That is what your soul is calling for. So once again, what is my soul calling to experience instead? What is the highest truth of that? Is it a healthy body? Vital, alive, energetic, whole, strong, flexible, eternally youthful, ever more beautiful? Is it fulfilling work where you get to share your genius and you are compensated in outrageously opulent ways? Is it a relationship that is strong, is dependable, is sustainable, is full of love and support? What is it? Okay, now I ask you each to just put that like in a sentence for yourself. Let me know by raising your hand when you have like a short sentence for yourself of what you want. As most people are there, on the count of three, I invite you to speak that short sentence out loud. Now remember, no one is listening to you because everyone is focused on speaking their own. You can speak it as loud or as lightly as possible, but it's important to declare your word. Ready? One, two, three. I now experience the most glorious time of fulfillment as I do to take my ministry to the next level. Now I invite you, many of you don't have any paper with you, but I invite you to take that home, whatever it is you said you wanted, and write it down and watch for something new to happen. Because I am here to say that if you will decide what you want, speak it out, write it down, there is magic in that process. It's not really magic, it's called using it. It's the way it works. It's allowing spirit to work for us as it works through us. The power of the word. Okay, so hold on just one second. Okay, so one more story. Again, I invite you to take the stuff that you really feel is not big enough. I had an experience a little while ago, in fact last year, where I was driving to my accountant's for taxes, to review my taxes, and he was going to tell, he said these words, bring your checkbook because you're going to need to write a big check to the IRS. Well, that's not very comforting, right? No. So on the way over there, I was kind of scared, and I wanted to go to that place of, well, let it not be that much. Oh, Holy Spirit, let me have the money to pay it. Do you see how that energy is like sucks, right?
Yes.
And I thought, Sharon, what do you really want? What I really wanted was a refund. I really wanted a refund. That one would make me happy. So I made bold. Now this authority called my tax accountant is telling me one thing, right? And I am standing in the word saying, I know that the Father and I are one. Whatever I declare is done. So I said, I declared, I'm going to go over there, and at the end, I'm going to get a refund. Well, long story short, he did his little calculations, and he did them three times, and he was just shaking his head, and he goes, I don't know where I miscalculated. I don't know how this worked out, but you're getting a refund. Yes! And the thing is, this man, we've been working with him 35 years, he never miscalculates. But God is bigger.
Yes.
So I'm inviting you to steep yourself in the power of the word. To start with what makes you uncomfortable. Start with what is upsetting you. Start with your complaints. Start with your judgments. And from there, ask yourself, what do I want? What do I really want? I didn't want just the amount I had to pay the IRS to be small. I want a refund. What do you really want? And then make bold to claim it, no matter what people are telling you. Okay, make bold to claim it, and then watch. Because in the beginning, it said that God said, let there be light, and he saw that there was light. Watch. He saw that there was light and that it was good. Watch. Keep an open mind. Watch. So in summary, I'd just like to invite you all to claim the power of your word, because as you see the demonstrations happening, you will grow in faith. As you see the demonstrations happening, you spread that faith far and wide. As you see the demonstrations happening, you are filled with power. The world is filled with power. Thank you. And so, let's go into prayer. And in this moment, I just say, let there be. Let there be the power of the word that is operating through every person here. Let there be the Father and everyone here are one, and whatsoever is declared is done. Let there be a new rising up, a new contagion of power, of faith, such that we all walk forward into this world. And no matter what we see and complain about, we know we have the power, and the world has the power to change. And so I just rest in this. I rest in this. I let the power just suffuse me, work through me, work as me, and work in me. I call it good. I call it God, and so it is.
Amen. So it is.
Thank you.